Welcome to the broadcast of Brooklyn Baptist Church, where the senior pastor is the Reverend Dr. Charles B. Jackson, Sr. Brooklyn has two locations, one church. For more information about all the services of Brooklyn Baptist Church, please visit us on the web at brooklynbaptist.org. That's BROOKLANDBAPTIST.ORG. As we prepare for the word today, please reference number 080220, 082020. Why am I serving God? Coming from the book of Job, chapter 1, verse 8 through 10. We now join the services of Brooklyn Baptist Church, already in progress. Have a blessed day in the Lord.
The church is being characterized and popularized by a people who more often than not are selfishly motivated in their service. Paul, writing to the church at Rome, chapter 12, verse 1, speaks of reasonable service. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your body is a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. But it appears that we have now become very selfish in our service. We are to serve for the sake of serving. I would have us to be served notice today that our service oftentimes is motivated by the question, what's in it for me? And so we join the church sometimes with our personal agendas and our ulterior motives as if we are seeking some social and or economic personal gain. If I join the church, how can the church help to advance my personal goals? We are becoming a self-serving people. The church is becoming a self-serving pulpit and self-serving pew. We are more concerned about what the church can do for us rather than what we can do for the church, in the church, and through the church for the community in serving others. Where is our thirst for righteousness? Where is our hunger for the word of God? Where is our desire for truth? Has truth become so irrelevant and unnecessary that it no longer matters? Where are we in wanting to be drawn closer to God? Where are we in wanting to walk more akin to the Word of God as the Word of God speaks to us on Christian conduct and character? Where are we in wanting to get to know God better? The integrity of our Christian service is under attack. Integrity seems to have been the motivation for Satan's interrogation of God concerning Job. Satan asks the question in verse 9, doth Job fear God for naught? In other words, does Job serve God for nothing? You will note that this question was put to God right after God had bragged on Job. God spoke complimentary remarks concerning Job. Then Satan said, does Job serve you, God, for nothing? And when he raises this question, he really sets forth a challenge for all of us to consider concerning our own service in the kingdom of righteousness. And this question was about like a rhetorical question. A question becomes rhetorical when you ask the question and then turn around and answer your own question. Satan asked in verse number 9, does Job serve God for nothing? And then in verse 10, he says, Job is doing what he's doing because you have a hedge about him. He is serving you because you have a fence around him. Satan seems to be, in essence, questioning the judgment of God. He's saying to God, in essence, God, you can't be that naive. Do you think Job is serving you for nothing? You can't be that weak. Do you think Job is worshiping you for nothing? You can't be that carried away with Job. Do you think Job is doing the things that he's doing for nothing? He's doing what he's doing because you've set up a buffer zone between him and the hardcore facts of life. If you really think that Job is real in serving you, then strip Job of all of his possessions and Job will curse you to your face. If you really think that he is genuine in serving God, then stop doing for him the things that you are doing and you'll find out what kind of man Job really is. And of course, God permitted this to happen. Theologians have a way of explaining how God allowed Job to suffer such severe affliction. They call it God's permissive will. God's permissive will. God causes some things to be done, and then God permits some things to be done. So within the permissive purpose of God, Satan is given the opportunity to attack Job. All of his children die. All of his servants are killed. All of his livestock and cattle are destroyed. One of the lessons of the story of Job is that you would want to be on your guard when God brags on you. When God speaks well of you in the heavenlies and has a divine assignment for you on earth, be on your guard because Satan will attack. When God has come to celebrate who you are because of your faith and your faithfulness, and he wants to trust you with a special divine assignment, Satan gets busy. And Satan goes on the attack. And the greater the assignment, the greater the attack. Satan is always in opposition to God. And so he opposes all who follow God. And so when God gives us an assignment, you can rest assured that Satan will try to disrupt that assignment. It's given to us very clearly in the life and the ministry of Jesus. Note with me, if you will, the closing verses of the third chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. There's the record of Jesus' baptism in the Jordan River by John. The Bible says, as the third chapter closes, that Jesus was baptized by John in the Jordan River and the heavens opened up. And the Spirit of God descended like a dove. And God the Father announced to the whole world, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Now that's how the third chapter ends. But the first verse of the fourth chapter begins by saying, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness where he was tempted by Satan. If thou be the Son of God, command these stones be turned into bread. And Jesus had to say, man cannot live by bread alone, but by the word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. When God has a divine assignment, be on your guard, because Satan will attack you. God spoke well of Satan, and Satan attacks Job. Not only did he lose his children and his servants and his livestock and cattle, let me remind you something. Satan doesn't give up on us. He's already had suffering losses. And now Satan is granted permission by God to touch Job's body. His health goes bad on him. So look at Job now, if you don't mind. He's lost much. His health now goes bad on him. Job is being tested. Let me say that again. Job is being tested. Now, when we study the character of Job, there are three tests that Job endured to prove the genuineness of his service. Does Job serve God for nothing? That's really not a bad question. Do I serve God for nothing? Do you serve God for nothing? Why do you do the things you do in the church for the kingdom of God? What is it that prompts you and impels you and inspires you and motivates you to serve God? This story of Job tells us that there are three tests. If you want to know how real you are in serving God, if you want some idea of how genuine you are in your serving God, then you can stand these three tests. The first is, can you serve God while you are suffering? Can you serve God while you are suffering? Anybody can serve God when their health is good and all of their family members are doing well. It is so much easier to serve God when you're standing on your feet rather than when you're lying sick on your backs and not so sure when you're going to get better or will you ever recover. It's so much easier to serve God when you can go through the routine of your day in good pleasure and come to the end of the day knowing that God has kept you through that day. But look at Job. Look at suffering Job. Look how severe Job's suffering is. Job's children died. Job had 7 sons and 3 daughters. They all died at the same time and in the same place. Maybe it would not have been so bad had just one child died. Maybe. Maybe it wouldn't have been so bad had one child died 1 year or another child died the following year. Maybe. Maybe it wouldn't have been so bad if the deaths of their children were kind of scattered across the years. But not with Job. All 7 sons and 3 daughters died at the same time. The same time. No parent, no good parent wants the reversal of nature, where they have to bid farewell to their children. Picture in your mind the funeral service. How would you feel attending the homegoing service of all of your children at one time? Cannot you feel how piercing the pain? Cannot you feel a little bit the seriousness and the severity of Job's suffering? All of his children dead. Glory, hallelujah. Not only that, but he's suffering in his body because he gets an unfavorable report from the doctor when he breaks out with inflamed-like sores from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. The Bible says when he got sick, he could not find a comfortable place to sit. He was afraid to close his eyes, even to take a nap, not to mention go to sleep at night, because if he were to close his eyes, he was afraid he might not wake up in the morning. Job is suffering. Can we serve God while we are suffering? The last few weeks have been some of the most painful and difficult 3 weeks I've known in the 49 years of our pastoral ministry. Without exception, not a day passed by when I did not receive 2 to 4 texts or calls from persons having been tested positive for COVID-19, or having been hospitalized, or having to grieve the death of a family member. There I found myself trying to carry the burden of God's people who are suffering in the midst of this pandemic. Then when a loved one, a family member dies, we find ourselves not able to give them a homegoing service to celebrate their lives. When family members have to be hospitalized, we can't visit them. We can't touch them. We can't kiss them on the brow. We can't wrap our arms around them to assure them that I'm with you. People are suffering. I've talked to a number of persons, and not yet have I heard anyone say that they see an end to this pandemic on this side of next year. I'm trying to say to people, hold on, because it is going to pass over. One of the fruit of the Spirit is patience. So we got to hang in there. We've got to limit the opportunities for exposure to this disease, because it's going to pass over after a while. I don't know what's going to happen when it passes over, but it is going to pass over after a while. But people are suffering. Job suffering. The death of all his children. Health going bad on him. He's being tested by God. But look at what it says in the 13th chapter and the 14th verse. He says, though he slay me, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. It's only a test. Can you serve God while you're suffering? The second test is this. Can you serve God when you're feeling all alone? When there seems to be nobody to whom you can go. Look at Mrs. Job rather quickly, if you don't mind. Mrs. Job was overwhelmed by grief. Understandably so. Because Mrs. Job loses all 10 of her children, whom she had carried in her womb and gave birth. She was having a harder time than her husband in dealing with this. Yes, her husband was struggling with it, but you might want to multiply his struggle several fold to get a feeling for what Mrs. Job was going through. Mrs. Job said, what is God doing to our family, Job? We've tried to do the right thing. What is God doing to our family? Why has he caused so much hurt and pain and suffering? She said to Job, Job, you ought to curse God and die. Job couldn't talk to his wife. And then he had 3 friends, Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar, who lived afar. They heard of Job's misfortunes, and so they thought they'd come to Job. And Job heard that they were coming to see about him. And Job felt encouragement. Job felt an uplift, because somebody's coming to see about him. But when his 3 friends got to him, instead of them consoling and being company keeping for him, they took the role of critics. And his 3 friends condemned him, criticized him, passed judgment on him. Let me tell you something. When God blesses you with a sure enough true friend, do whatever you can to honor that friend. Do whatever you can to cherish that friendship. It took me 60 years to learn it. Everybody who is with you is not for you. Everybody you call friend, everybody who calls you friend is not your friend. Because, see, friends are going to stay with you. They're going to stay with you when you're right. They're going to stay with you when you're wrong. They're going to try to encourage you in your right. And if you're wrong, they're going to try to help you get right. True friends don't walk out on you. True friends don't act like Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar. Turn on you. So if God blesses you with a good friend, you stay with that good friend, because in a friend, you got a listening ear. You got a shoulder on which to lean. You got a compassionate heart. You've got somebody on whom you can depend. Job was feeling all alone. But even in the midst of feeling so alone, you hear him saying in 14 and 14, in all my appointed times, I'm going to wait on God until my change comes. It's only a test. There's a third test. Can you serve God when you have lost material possessions? Suffering, feeling alone, having lost material blessings. You see, our society seemed to have determined that you are important based on what you own. And if the person next door to you has more than you have, then they are more important than you are. And some of us have bought into this, and we're so busy hustling and struggling and scuffling, trying to make a living, that we don't have time to live, because we want others to think of us as important. But look at Job, if you don't mind. Job had servants that stood in every doorway, and his slightest desire was their most sacred command, and all of his servants were killed. Job had 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camel, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 she-asses, and they were all destroyed. Job went to sleep one night a rich man and woke up the next morning a poor man, having lost all that he had. The question for you today is, can you serve God even amidst losses of material possessions? How enthusiastic are you in your praising God when you've lost perhaps that house, having now gone into foreclosure? How enthusiastic are you in your praise? You've been laid off from the job. The bills are still there, but the income is insufficient. You're drawing an unemployment check, but that unemployment check cannot cover the expenses of the household. And now you find word that the unemployment check is about to run out. Can you still enter his gates with thanksgiving? Can you still enter his courts with praise? Does your praise posture diminish when you find yourself having lost? Job lost everything he had, but he stood forthrightly in the faith of the Lord God Jehovah. He'd earlier said in the first chapter and the 21st verse, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord giveth, and the Lord hath taken away. But he says it again in a different way in the 19th chapter and the 25th verse, because Job then declares, I know that my Redeemer lives. I know my Redeemer lives. Yes, I've had to suffer. Yes, I feel all alone. Yes, I've lost my material possessions, but I know that my Redeemer lives. Job stood all three tests. Job passed the test. And so in the 23rd chapter, He begins to search for God. Job wants to find God. He says, God, I need to talk to you. I'm feeling a heaviness. I'm feeling a burden that's pressing on me. Can I talk to you, God? Can you come into my presence that we might talk to one another? God showed up 15 chapters later. Watch this. In chapter 38. And he said, Job, I understand you got some questions you want to ask me, but since I predate you to some degree, permit me, if you don't mind, to ask you a few questions first. Where were you, Job, when I laid the foundations of the world? Where were you, Job, at creation's darkness when the morning stars sang together and the sons of God shouted for joy? Where were you, Job? This is the 38th chapter. But look at that 42nd chapter. And you can shout glory, hallelujah. Look at the 42nd chapter. Because in the 42nd chapter, God affirmed Job's faith and his faithfulness. God said to Job in that 42nd chapter, because of your faith and your faithfulness, I'm going to make your latter days greater than your former days. Because of your faith and your faithfulness, I'm going to give you double for your trouble. Because of your faith and your faithfulness, I'm going to let you live to see four generations of your children. Because you have passed the test, greater is waiting for you. I don't know who God may be speaking to in and through this message today, but God is trying to say to somebody, in the midst of your suffering, in the midst of feeling alone, in the midst of your losses, God is saying to you today, keep your faith. Remain faithfulness. That's what God is saying. Does Job serve God for nothing? Why am I serving God? My beloved in the Lord, let us not serve God only because of what he does for us, but let us serve God because of who he is. Let us not serve God only because of what he gives us, but let us serve God because of who he is. Let us not serve God just for the blessings and the benefits of being in relationship with him, but let us serve God because of who he is. Serve God because of who he is. Worship God because of who he is. Witness for God because of who he is. Give of yourself to God because of who he is. Love God because of who he is. Who is he? He is the creative genius of this created order. He is El Shaddai, God Almighty. He is Jehovah Jireh, the one who will provide. He is Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace. We ought to serve him today because of who he is. I don't know about you today, but I'm going to serve God until I die. Until I die, I'm going to serve God anyhow because of who he is. Serving God because of who he is, I know that he's going to reward my faith and my faithfulness. I invite you to Jesus today. I invite you to Jesus today.
This concludes the broadcast of Brooklyn Baptist Church. And to obtain a copy of this service in its entirety, please reference number 080220. 080220. Why am I serving God? Give us a call, 803-796-6103. 803-796-6103 is the number to call. Or please join us every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m. for our live streaming service. So you can be a part of that, or you can continue to listen right here on this station. We also want to thank you for all your continued support, and we pray that you be blessed and enriched in the Word of God.